The goblin bowed his great domed head in acknowledgement, then flexed his short legs.
"I think,"
he said, settling himself ostentatiously upon Bill and Fleur's bed,
"that the Skellygrow has finished its work. I may be able to sleep at last. Forgive me."
"Yeah, of course," said Harry. But before leaving the room, he leaned forward and took the sword of Gryffindor from beside the goblin. Griphook did not protest, but Harry thought he saw resentment in the goblin's eyes as he closed the door upon him.
"Little git," whispered Ron. "He's enjoying keeping us hanging."
"Harry," whispered Hermione, pulling them both away from the door into the middle of the still dark landing.
"Are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you saying there's a Horcrux in the Lestrange's vault?"
"Yes," said Harry. "Bellatrix was terrified when she thought we'd been in there. She was beside herself. Why? What did she think we'd seen? What else did she think we might have taken? Something she was petrified you-know-who would find out about."
"But I thought we were looking for places you-know-who's been. Places he's done something important," said Ron, looking baffled. "Was he ever inside the Lestrange's vault?"
"I don't know whether he was ever inside Gringotts," said Harry. "He never had gold there when he was younger because nobody left him anything. He would have seen the bank from the outside, though, the first time he ever went to Diagon Alley."
Harry's scar throbbed, but he ignored it. He wanted Ron and Hermione to understand about Gringotts before they spoke to Ollivander.
"I think he would have envied anyone who had a key to a Gringotts vault. I think he'd have seen it as a real symbol of belonging to the wizarding world. And don't forget, he trusted Bellatrix and her husband. They were his most devoted servants before he fell, and they went looking for him after he vanished. He said it the night he came back. I heard him."
Harry rubbed his scar.
"I don't think he'd have told Bellatrix it was a Horcrux, though. He never told Lucius Malfoy the truth about the diary. He probably told her it was a treasured possession and asked her to place it in her vault. The safest place in the world for anything you want to hide, Hagrid told me, except for Hogwarts."
When Harry had finished speaking, Ron shook his head.
"You really understand him?"
"Bits of him," said Harry. "Bits. I just wish I'd understood Dumbledore as much. But we'll see. Come on, Ollivander now."
Ron and Hermione looked bewildered, but impressed as they followed him across the little landing and knocked upon the door opposite Bill and Fleur's. A weak,
"Come in,"
answered them. The Wandmaker was lying on the twin bed farthest from the window. He had been held in the cellar for more than a year, and tortured, Harry knew, on at least one occasion. He was emaciated, the bones of his face sticking out sharply against the yellowish skin. His great silver eyes seemed vast in their sunken sockets. The hands that lay upon the blanket could have belonged to a skeleton. Harry sat down on the empty bed beside Ron and Hermione. The rising sun was not visible here. The room faced the clifftop garden and the freshly dug grave.
"Mr. Ollivander, I'm sorry to disturb you," Harry said.
"My dear boy,"
Ollivander's voice was feeble,
"you rescued us. I thought we would die in that place. I can never thank you enough.